Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
The journey? It starts here, at your local ballpark. On the fields where dreams are born.
All right, fellas, here we go!
Every swing, every step, every moment, it all counts. The fundamentals kids learn today, they build the skills and confidence for tomorrow. Pitch, hit, and run. Find a local competition near you and sign up at pitchhitrun.com. Let the journey begin. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hour three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. It's time now for a football fix with Zach Wolchek. Here he is, Zachary.
Woo! Do you agree with this list when it comes to your best guards, quarterbacks, and oh my gosh, if Seattle sold for this much, how much is Dallas worth? Football fix now.
You think football is still fun?
Yes.
Sir.
Wrong side!
Left side!
Wrong side!
Left side!
I use these for acid indigestion.
So what are we going to use these for?
Intimidation.
You know I got to get my fix, man.
Your Dallas Cowboys have the best guard in football and the fifth best quarterback in all of the National Football League, according to your sixth best ESPN exec scouts and coaches with the NFL quarterbacks. Listen, honestly, I think they might have nailed this one with Dak at number six on the list, just going back based off of the last couple of years. They got Josh Allen at numero uno, Patrick Mahomes at two, Matthew Stafford, the reigning MVP at three, Burrow at four, Lamar Jackson, two-time MVP at five, and then Rain, Dakota Prescott. Highest ranking was at three. Now, lowest ranking was unranked. Last year, not even featured on the list, and he's made his way all the way up to number six. One NFL coordinator saying he's a true acute progression passer. There are only so many of those types. He can read the whole field from pre to post snap. He's just really a good commander of the offense. Another AFC offensive coach referring to Dak, I think he can use his athleticism even more and run for some first downs. That would give the Cowboys a new dimension. And I think we'd all be like, hell yeah, go steal a touchdown or two. My favorite touchdowns are Dak rushing touchdowns. When he does it, it's just cool. It seems like it gives the entire team a boost. It's exciting. He's fired up when he's like somersaulting into the end zone. It's like, let's go. I love a good quarterback draw. Dial up number four inside the red zone. I think that could benefit the red zone offense as well.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I wonder how much he wants to do it, how much they're protective of it. This dude, Ryan Paginetti, he used to work for the Eagles in their analytics department. His Twitter account blew up over the weekend because I guess he's left working for teams and he's doing media now, right? Well, he was working with the Eagles when they won their first Super Bowl, and he was talking about in this podcast with Monday Morning Quarterback how important quarterback sneaking is.
It's the most efficient play in football.
Yeah, he's like, man, when I were working for teams and we would see them line up and do anything but sneak, we were high-fiving like, man, they let us off the hook. I can't believe they let all this win probability go. And after listening to this, I was like, man, we got to get this Ryan dude on the show. So I reached out to him. But I really thought, you know, about the teams I do podcasts for, the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers, you're screwed. You have no quarterback sneak ability.
Yeah.
You got to bring in a tight end to run a tush push, you know, in these kind of situations. So I guess there's a way around it. But then also it goes to Dak Prescott and, you know, how much are they worried about it? Because the in-depth study reveals the injury risk on sneaks is minimum. And Belichick knew this over 10 years ago, which is why he was quarterback sneaking Tom Brady even before the rest of the league was hip to it. You know, but there's so many teams doing it effectively now, and you know, harvesting big advantages. I just hope that at least the Cowboys are willing to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know about putting Dak out in space.
Right.
You
right.
know? Sure, yeah. I don't know if he's doing read option anymore. Yeah. You know, maybe a little bit here and there just to keep the defense honest. But, I mean, the only injury I've ever seen was the freaky meniscus or the dislocation of the kneecap from Mahomes. And so they won't do it with him anymore. And I get that. That's terrifying. But otherwise, yeah, I can't think of another quarterback I've seen get hurt on a sneak. And if the Cowboys wanted to, and I don't know if Milton gets the second job, maybe that's Howell. But Joe Milton's a perfect guy to put out there to run a sneak, much like, what was it, the Colts were doing with Jacoby Brissett a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a backup quarterback and you don't want to risk your starter, yeah, throw that guy over. Let Milton go ahead and be a quarterback sneak guy.
I think a lot of the gold happens, though, because you could do something else.
Yeah. Element of surprise. Yeah. It eliminates that a little bit when you're running out Joe Milton.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like you're right, but at the same time, if it's such an effective play.
If it's working, it's working, right?
If it proves to not matter, if Milton is just that good at it.
Like, I feel like if a team's sneaking, you know they're sneaking. I think we know what's happening here.
Like with the Eagles and the way they have it set up, or these teams that are running tight ends now to get under center.
I don't think there's a whole lot of deception going on when you're you're running a quarterback sneak.
Especially if you're great at the tush push,
right.
You don't need to. But they did start last year to run trick plays off of it.
And hey, Barkley had, I think, a big touchdown off the right side, a little sweep. But yeah, I mean, it worked, I think, with Jacoby Brissett coming in and doing it. Like, it was still super effective for the Colts. So just if you have a quarterback that you're like, man, I don't want to do this, I think that still could be an effective way to run it. But I was pretty stunned. And hey, kudos to the league. But Tyler Smith, your number one guard or just interior lineman in all of football, he did get last year he was ranked 2. So he jumped up from 2 to 1. It's just crazy, though. He's ranked 1, and the lowest ranking he got from those that voted on this list was unranked. But somebody compared him to Jason Peters. He's like a prime Peters playing guard. Another AFC exec said he has more flash plays than anybody in the entire league. He finishes 1 ahead of Quentin Nelson with the Colts. Creed Humphrey, the outstanding center with the Chiefs at 3. Quinn Miners, who we talked about on Friday from the Broncos at 4. Joe Tooney with the Bears. Chris Lindstrom with the Falcons. Trey Smith with the Chiefs. Linderbaum, highest paid center in the history of the game at 8. Peter Skoronski, the guard from the Titans at 9, and then Aaron Brewer, who also got himself a nice deal with the Miami Dolphins this year. Your honorable mentions on the list, you did get Tyler Booker, one NFL coordinator saying strong and athletic physicality, struggles a bit with guys that are good lateral movers, but hey, I think next year you're going to see Tyler Booker jump into this. You have the best interior lineman in football. Anybody disagree with that?
I kind of feel like that if you said Tyler Booker has an issue and maybe happened early in his career, it wasn't the lateral movement. It's the recognition of twist stunts.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the strength, the power, everything you want in your guard is there. I think he lacks recognition. I think he got better at it. But if you said, oh, he struggles with lateral quickness. No, he really, the thing, if you watch him play snap after snap, it's when teams early in the season ran games to him, he and Steele just weren't good enough. And you could tell it affected Steele because Steele had been used to working with Zach Martin. You know, and Zach Martin is just not going to fail at that. So you could tell that there were a little bit of some problems with Booker and with recognition. Got better at the end of the year. But, man, that was something I think that if you said, okay, that's give me something he's not very good at, that would be it just off the rip for me.
Yeah, I think I remember playing against the Bears. He got totally run over.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, the guy ended up, like, diving into Dak's knee. It looked like a very scary play, but you're right. I'm with you on the processing there. Now,
there's a timing and agility factor with him. I just don't think he's ever going to be great when he's playing on the move or his opponents are playing on the move. Can we design plays to take advantage of what he does incredibly well? And there's a lot of stuff in there.
Oh, yeah. And the power he plays with is outstanding. Yeah. Now, Seattle, they end up getting sold for $9.6 billion, which was reported on Saturday. It's a formal agreement to purchase the defending Super Bowl champs. It's a group that was previously with the San Francisco 49ers. They had an ownership stake there. They're giving that up, obviously. They can't be double-dipping with two NFC West teams, but just two teams in general. The owners still have to ratify this final purchase, but holy crap, I'm just thinking almost $10 billion for Seattle. I mean, what would the Cowboys even go for if the Jones family ever decided they wanted to?
They own the stadium, which is part of the price, so now you have to include probably with the revenue and stuff, that's probably $2 to $3 billion dollars.
$30 billion.
I was going to say for sure double that, like $20 billion.
Yeah.
I think is a guarantee. And then could it go bigger? Wouldn't shock me.
I mean, it's crazy. In 2023, Washington sells for $6 billion.
Yeah.
So we're talking, what, 3 years later, you've got the Seahawks going for almost 10. Yeah, this thing's getting insane. And I think the Cowboys make easily, what is it, like $1.5 billion a year just off sales? I mean, it's a money-making machine.
I mean, quick Shark Tank math would put that value at 30 then, wouldn't
well,
it?
Well, they say if they talk about just the valuations of the teams, Dallas is at 12.5. That was last year.
Mm.
But that, and again, that includes the stadium as well. So you're getting both out of that. And I think the same things if you bought the Rams would be the same, you know, with SoFi. Right now, just going back and looking at last year's valuations, the Seahawks was roughly $6.59 billion, which was 14th on the list.
So they moved up 50%. So I guess if we were looking at it that way, the Cowboys would be worth around 18 right now.
Yeah, I'd say so. Wow. Yeah, absolutely.
It's just amazing.
It's going to get to a point in time where, well, I guess you could still have people put together ownership groups to do this, but there's going to be a time where corporations are probably going to have to buy these teams. Just going to be too, especially the NFL ones.
It's too expensive.
Not one group or not one person could do that.
Very short list of them.
Very, very short list. Yeah. Very, very short list that That's actually could do that.
Unbelievable.
I thought that Jeff Bezos would be more into the Seattle mix. You know?
Yeah.
He's the one that can absolutely, no question, afford. But yeah, there's gonna be a time where corporations are probably gonna look to be buying these teams. Yeah. You know?
Let's hear from Max Crosby, who jumped on Kick and was streaming with Neon, who, I mean, I guess he's got enough of an audience. He's pulling all these big-time athletes to join him on a stream. But an interesting answer, most toxic fan base in all of the NFL. And at first, I'm like, what? This makes no sense. But listening to Crosby talk about it, maybe he's onto something. What do you think?
Playing against Herbert or Mahomes, like, I f***ing terrorize them. And I'm barking in their ear, doing all type of crazy shit. After games, especially if I have a big game or I'm talking shit or I have a moment. Like, I had a f***ing late hit on Herbert this year. Mm. He was barking in my ear and I f***ing shoved him and he went flying down. Their fan base came at me like, you f***ing junkie, crackhead, motherfucker, like nonstop. And I'm like, damn. But they're crazy though. But that's just part of it. You know what I mean?
Who got the most like toxic fan base, you would say?
I think the Chargers, low key.
What?
Chargers do, because they got a smaller fan base. They start in San Diego, so it's more, you know, they're not really an LA team. They're not from LA. So their fans like feel like they need to be louder because they don't have as many, don't have numbers like us. So they're real toxic. And I respect it though, because like if it pisses me off, that means they're probably doing a pretty good job of talking. And they don't stop. But the Chargers and all those teams. I don't like any of them. I fucking hate all teams.
I love that energy from Max, by the way. Just screw my rivals, right? F them. I think we got too much buddy-buddy going on in the NFL. I like that old school
mentality. To verbally terrorize and physically terrorize Herbert and Mahomes.
But when he says, like, if somebody were to say the Chargers have the most toxic fan base, I'm thinking, like, you're out of your bleeping mind.
No, I think
their fans get taken over all the time. They don't have a home field advantage. It's like if the Steelers play there, it's basically a Steelers home game. If the Cowboys play there, it's like a Cowboys home game, right? But he does make an interesting point, because the hardcore ones are probably like so few in numbers, they feel like we've got to be louder than everybody else, and maybe that does just breed toxicity.
You kind of feel like that in that division that he would have said Kansas City or Denver or something like that. You know?
Yeah, I would have guessed Kansas City for sure. Yeah. But if you're a diehard Chargers fan, like you really are the real deal.
Yeah.
Because you have plenty of different options that you could be a fan of when it comes to that neck of the woods and the amount of franchises that you could be a fan of. And if you're like, no, I'm sticking with my Chargers, I guess you have...
That's loyalty.
Yeah, there's some serious loyalty there.
But most toxic.
But I was not expecting that.
I wasn't either. I was pretty stunned when he said that. Last thing here, I mentioned the list of the quarterbacks from ESPN. Top 100 keeps dropping. Every day they're giving us two more. Lamar Jackson with a big tumble. He drops 67 spots on this year's top 100 to number 69. Mm. So not great for Lamar. I wonder how he feels about that, but maybe he just doesn't even care. He was number 72 on the 23 list, and then he goes up to the number 2 spot, and then boom, down at 69. Nice.
Thank you, Wolchuk.
Thank you.
There it is. A football fix is in the books. We got some Cowboys Twitter top tweets going viral about your football team, and more coming up next as we approach the midway point, a full five-hour Monday here with you as Home Run Derby is tonight. And the Dallas Mavericks taking on the Grizzlies. Summer League action coming up at 6 o'clock. We'll continue talking sports with you here coming up next.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. All right, welcome back, Nation. Segment here brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Okay, Blog of the Boys did a nice piece of work here today. Dak Prescott's gone quite viral for being ranked sixth overall. I think it's a fair ranking. I think anything between about six and, or maybe even like four and nine or ten, I think is a very reasonable range for Dak. But of course, there are the doubters out there. Not many.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I think if you are in the Dak doubter category, it's time to take a look in the mirror and ask yourself, am I the problem here? Am I too dug in? Leave your thoughts on the Franklin injury attorney text line. I think, you know, how he's transitioned with poor offensive line play, and he's really been going and playing without great offensive lines for a couple of years now. I think broke a lot of people's spirit. You know, yeah. It was easy to doubt him when you had Dez and Jason Witten and Cole Beasley still, and you know, some of the players that he played with early on in his career, Travis Frederick and Tyron Smith and Zach Martin. But at this point, it's, you know, there's no other thing he could do to prove himself. Last year, number one quarterback in the NFL under pressure,
yeah,
according to the majority of grading services. But Blogging the Boys looked at that one of the other narratives that has dogged him, which is you only play well against bad teams.
Right.
Since the league moved to a 14-team playoff field in 2021, his career passer rating against playoff teams is 99, the third best amongst quarterbacks with at least 10 starts over that period. The rating against playoff teams is only marginally lower than his 99.3 passer rating against all teams, playoff bound or not, since 2021. So, I don't know, maybe that was a thing for the first half of his career. It hasn't been since 2021, unless you're getting more nuanced in your analysis. Maybe you have a way of explaining that away that I'm not aware of. Against playoff teams, Prescott plays at practically the same level as he does against lesser opponents, writes one cool customer. Becomes even more obvious when you look at the 2025 NFL averages. The average passer rating last year was 91.4. Against playoff teams, the average was 85.8, a drop of 5.6 points. Compared to that, Prescott's rating drops by 0.3. So not only is he playing better against playoff teams than most other quarterbacks, his performance drop is also much lower against playoff teams than for other quarterbacks. And then the final point is a closer look at the splits by opponent wins in the table below shows Prescott does have slightly better numbers against the truly terrible teams. Okay, they acknowledge that. And the real place he struggles, actually, and I don't know, is this random? Is this divisional opponent awareness? But the real place he struggles is actually against teams on the road that end up with between 6 and 8 wins.
That's weird.
Most notably on the road against Washington and New York.
Yeah, well, the Washington stuff is, that's just a funky place to play. In Washington, weird things have happened there. I mean, Brandon Aubrey, that's like a house of horrors for him right now, too. That's the one stadium where consistently Brandon Aubrey has struggled in. So that might just be familiarity, 100%. But, I mean, that's probably factoring in that super weird Jets game that was there when they end up losing and Sam Darnold ends up beating them. And the next week he's seeing ghosts and gets his ass kicked by Tom Brady and the Patriots. But, yeah, there is some that is strange, like the 6-8 team thing on the road.
Yeah. Are you overlooking them? Are you not up or as locked in where maybe it doesn't matter against the truly bad teams? You're still going to absolutely destroy them. But, you know, I think the divisional awareness and plus, like, both those teams have had really good defensive lines. Not now for Washington. Last year really rock bottomed. But when they had, Payne and who was the other gentleman in there?
Allen.
When they had Payne and Allen, they really put it on the Cowboys a couple of times. Okay, one breakout player to watch for every NFL team is where we go now here from The Athletic. And we're going to circle back around to Savone Rebel. Talked about him an hour ago. This is John Machota, a breakout player to watch for every NFL team. Here's what he said. Had it not been for a torn ACL, he might have been a first-round pick.
Yeah.
That's what Brian said, right? That's where you had him graded?
Yeah, I did.
Instead, he fell to the third, where the Cowboys selected him 76th. Recovery from knee injury prevented him from appearing in a game last week till week 11. Now fully healed, Rebel's in position to compete for a starting corner spot. Has the ideal size, 6'2", 200, strength and athleticism. Corner's one of the biggest question marks on this roster. If you could say Savone Rebel's going to be good and he is going to be the breakout player for the Cowboys, what would it mean for this defense?
Wow. I mean, look, I think that would probably allow you then to be able to do a lot more things with Caleb Downs. I don't know that you're forced to necessarily have to play Caleb Downs in the slot, because I then think it would mean that maybe Kobe Durant could be kicking inside and playing. So I think right now, with the doubts of Revel and Bland, and doubt might not be the right word for it, just kind of, one, he's not proven, and then you've got the health stuff with Bland, it's like, okay, we got to have Kobe Durant on the outside. But it'd be huge. I mean, the cornerback is probably one of the biggest, if not the biggest, question marks coming into the season. And if Revel can play with confidence and ends up being a breakout stud player, this defense is easily middle of the pack, in my opinion.
I worry about a position where a guy has to use his legs or his feet to play at corner, and I don't necessarily know, and I probably will get a text message here in the next 5 minutes for saying this, I'm just not totally convinced about Bland and his overall health. So if you told me that Savone Rebel could be a guy that will play well, it would make me feel a lot better about not having to use somebody else, you know, at corner. I mean, we this team went through it all last year. Just pick any guy off the street you want to play and play him at corner, and it just didn't work. So if you told me Revel would play at a high level, that'd make me feel better about Bland, because if I know if something happened to Bland, that I could just plug him in and we'll be fine. You know?
I mean, they're going to bring so many bodies, but I don't feel like they have anybody they can count on, really.
They don't, and we've talked about this while you were gone. Would you carry 10 or 11 defensive backs? Would you carry extra defensive backs just because you don't – until you know how healthy, you know, everybody goes through the season, you're probably going to need more bodies than any other position. So, yeah, I think that to me is the biggest question of what's with this team is how things going to shake out at the cornerback spot.
Isaiah Likely, tight end with the Giants, their breakout player to watch here in this story. The Athletic, Harbaugh bringing him over. He never topped 42 catches or 477 yards in his 4 years with the Ravens. Kind of a hit, but they let him go and Linderbaum go. A couple of departures there from the Ravens offense. I'm always curious how it lands when you're the new coach that brings in somebody from your old team. I think that can be troublesome. If you got players on your new team that are looking to get paid, and you bring in somebody that blocks that paying in one way or another, sometimes it can prevent you from getting off on the right foot. But I'm doubtful of the Harbaugh move. That doesn't scare me that much. So maybe I'm biased in that way of looking at it. Eagles, Jahad Campbell, their linebacker after losing N'Kobe Dean to the Raiders. That one is huge. Physical tools stand out in the middle of the defense. 6'3", 235, ran a 4.52. Campbell has the length and range to be a force in coverage, and the Eagles think there's a burgeoning pass rush skill set in there as well. Started 10 games last year, played 63% of the snaps, but the defense was clearly better with N'Kobe Dean on the field.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
That's interesting right there. If that doesn't come together, it's Tim and Zach Bond.
Went back and watched Philadelphia and how they play their fronts, and Campbell was having to fight a lot of blocks. And I think that wasn't the easiest thing for him to have to deal with. Bond can clearly do that, but I think when you're talking about the other guy, I mean Dean clearly was the better. Campbell had his moments. Campbell can really run. Campbell's a good athlete, but man, when it came to the physical part of having to take those guys on, that's where the struggles were for him. That's worth keeping an eye on. You know, running the ball at Philadelphia. Can you find a way? You would much rather try and run it at him if you can get second-level blocks than you would with Bond.
We need dominoes to start falling for Philadelphia to push their defense out of the top 10. You know, and if you can do that, then I really think there's a chance they could finish with just 8 or 9 wins, because I don't think their offense is going to be great. I know in the quarterback rankings, Jalen Hurts ranked 17th.
Yeah.
And, you know, Super Bowl winner who was in the top 5 of the MVP conversation just a couple of years ago. But, like, last year was a real collapse for him, and he needs a huge bounce back year. I imagine they're going to be looking for their next guy. With the Commanders, it's Jerron Payne, the defensive tackle. And it's crazy they're talking about him being a breakout candidate here in The Athletic.
Like a re-breakout?
Yeah, he's been in the league for 8 years.
Jerron Payne is getting said to break out?
Okay, so the justification is he's got a track record of elevating his play in contract season. So right before he got the 4 years and 90 mil, he had his best year. And since then, he's played pretty average. So they're saying maybe he breaks back out into being an actual star player. Here's an interesting and unusual real-life trend. 49% of young adults today in America living with their parents. This is under 25 years old. Half of you out there. Living with your parents.
I'm jealous.
Yeah.
Jealous.
That was me.
Man, get some meals and some laundry.
Pretty clutch.
Some hanging out with dad.
Yeah.
In 2019.
The bills.
The bills.
The bills, bro.
My goodness.
Pops, here's $1,000, dog. Come on, baby. I can't wait to get that to you.
In 2019, the number was 37%. So in 7 years, it's grown about 30% or so of young adults living with their parents. I think it just shows how much more expensive things have become.
Very.
You know, a 4 pound of hot dog, a 4-pack of those jalapeno dogs.
Yeah,
you've seen them. You know the ones.
Yeah.
$9.99.
It's crazy. It's unbelievable, dude. Everywhere you turn.
Yeah,
I mean it's
candy $2.50. Snickers bar $2.50.
The prices are unreal.
I bought a bag of candy for the desk over here on the other side. It was $21.
Yeah,
just assorted candy.
Mm-hmm. I figure Halloween's going to set me back $300 this.
I believe it.
Coming up this October with these damn candy prices.
Makes you feel different about going and stealing a bunch of candy off those desks.
Well,
huh?
I tell you what, I feel bad for stealing the candy, and then I'm like, okay, I got to bring my own candy.
Yeah.
I bring candy.
I'll replace it.
I'll replace it, and then it was like $21, and I'm like, gosh, am I going to do this every week now? Maybe, probably so.
Once a month,
I'll keep doing it. Yeah. Just add on another podcast. That's all I have.
Yeah. Just throw another one in there.
Just throw another podcast in there.
It's become so normal. I don't even know if the gals are going to ding you for this, you know, in the dating scene. I think it might just have to be something they accept now.
I think so. I think they have to accept it
except
up until.
They do not want a broke dude. They're not looking for a broke dude.
Uh-huh. They'll just be 12 fighting for the one dude that's well off.
That is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way it works.
Broke dudes have no shot.
Oh, baby, I can afford to take you out to dinner because I'm not paying rent.
See,
I got a spare $50.
Girls do not look at dinner as like paying for something. They don't see that as being like, now if you're going to pay bills and stuff like that.
Oh my God.
That's where they
foot our bills. Come on.
But they don't look as dinner. That's something that's not doing anything for them. That's
standard practice.
And there's gals that are charging guys to go out with them. And I'm not talking about like ladies of the night type of thing. But like if you want to go out with me, you have to get a couple hundred bucks.
You
got
to pay me a few hundred bucks to go on a date with you for you to buy me dinner.
Yeah. That's wild.
That is insane.
That's awesome. Thank you. Appreciate you telling me that.
Yeah. It's a non-starter.
I'll call you right back.
You have fun with that.
Yeah.
We always talk about the high value guy. Everybody's looking for the high value guy. Nobody. If you don't have money but you're a high value guy, then you get trampled on.
Yeah. Man.
Sounds miserable out there. Yeah. I'm so glad I'm out of that game.
Yeah, me too.
Found the love of my life. Samesies.
Okay, we got...
let's go in the Pimp Cup. We're loose as
hell. Yeah. Lucious bag coming up, right?
All right, let's go ahead and shake it up. What in the hell happened on Saturday night with Conor McGregor? We'll talk more about that.
Oh, my knee!
Yeah, not good. But also, who are going to be the best players in the National Basketball Association in 2030? And is Cooper Flagg number one? That's next.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Gear from MLBShop.com helps you show everyone what team you're with before you even say a word. So people start asking you things locals and fans know, like...
You with the crew?
You from the D.
Where'd you go to high school?
Your dad put you in brown and gold.
You see skins, girl?
You get your Dodger dog?
Siempre 305.
You see Big Dumper 60?
Do you see him put Vladdy in the jacket?
How about 4070?
You see Judges 62?
Shohei's 50-50.
The gear says it all.
Cut from the city. Go to MLBShop.com.
MLB trademarks used with permission.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and we got the finest coming up at 5 o'clock. We're going all the way till 7. Fred and Blake will be in here, Fan After Dark time, coming up 7 to 11. It's time now for a mixed bag, though, and here's Wolchuk.
Let's do it. Let's shake it up. Let's hit a mixed bag.
You want a chocolate? Mama. Mama.
Leave the gut.
Mama.
Take the cannoli.
Mama always said life was like a box of chocolates.
How do they get them back?
Just throw it in the bag.
You never know what you're going to get.
Well, UFC 329 really just turned into the Paddy Pimblett show, as it should. I mean, Paddy is an absolute
Paddy
stud.
Paddy the baddie, huh?
Oh, Paddy the baddie. Mm. Yep, he is maybe the new face of the UFC after an outstanding first-round submission, tremendous performance. I mean, this thing, he was over, boom. Much like the Conor Holloway fight, although...
I thought Paddy was going to run out of gas just on the intro. Just getting to the octagon.
Dude, I mean, his intro is freaking electric. It really is. But yeah, he was having so much fun. But it was crazy listening to him talk post-fight that he was considering retiring if he didn't win this. He's like, man, if I can't beat St. Denis, then what am I doing this
for?
So thank God he won.
St. Denis, man.
Yeah, that would have been sad.
St. Denis, how'd he feel?
Yeah. It's like, what, are you calling me a bum? Like, no. Yeah, yeah. I mean, St. Denis is a good fighter. But no, shout out to Paddy after he lost to Justin Gaethje, who now, after beating Ilia Topuria in the White House card, is a champion. But my gosh, what a performance from Paddy. But then we did get the main event. And Conor McGregor and all the conspiracies are running wild here. I really don't think that he had a torn ACL going into this thing. I don't. I don't think Conor comes out and throws that kick if that knee was already hurt. Now, could he have had some type of injury going into that maybe he wasn't even aware of? I get it. You know, we've done slow-mos.
He's 38 years old.
Yes. And
how old did we fight?
A five-year layoff.
Yeah.
And he suffered a catastrophic knee injury the last time he was in.
Yeah.
His body's just giving out on him.
Yeah.
And I don't think that he throws that kick if he knew that he already had a torn ACL, but now he's going to have surgery, and he says he wants to come back and fight for the final fight that he has on his contract. I'm sure that he will. I wish he would just retire. Him and Cody Garbrandt, who got knocked out in the prelims, and Cody Garbrandt is also a former featherweight champion. Both of them should be done. It was a hell of a run. It was great. 2013 to 2018 was amazing. But I don't think we need to see Conor McGregor fight again in the UFC. I understand if he wants to, he'll be able to. Dana's not going to tell him no, and I'll watch it. But I think we're good here because I just think the more times he's going to step in there, he's just going to the legacy is just going to continue to get worse and worse.
Embarrass
and worse.
Himself?
Yeah. I mean, it really was. It was sad.
It was easily one of the biggest letdowns in UFC history. Unequivocally.
And yeah, I saw the
video. His walkout was longer than the fight.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I saw the video of him going into a pain management center, but like, again, he's already coming off of a major knee injury. Like, that could have been for anything.
The internet was joking that Bam Adebayo threw more punches this weekend than Conor McGregor did.
I mean, like, it's a joke, but it's true.
Yeah.
It was
I just
sad.
Think the public are a bunch of suckers here for watching this guy. You know?
I mean, he's a pull. He's a drag.
You're the sucker for betting on him.
He just called you a sucker. Did you hear that?
Well, me and, I mean, what? However other million. But I'll take that because watching it, like, it was sad to see, man. But, yes, if you actually put money on that, which a lot of people did, and Vegas made a ton of money on it.
Yeah, they took a million from Drake, didn't they?
Woo, they sure did.
Yeah.
And the second Drake threw money on it, I'm like, he is so screwed. He is so screwed. But, yes, Sophie Cunningham, also a ring girl for the Patty Pimblett fight, which was a little strange. But I guess she's buddies with Dana White now. And Dana's like, she jokingly said, hey, we need a ring girl for this. Dana's like, okay, Patty flight. You got it. So she goes up there and does her thing. And I don't know if that'll be a future thing of hers, but it was cool. She got her shine on there. I don't know where you fall on the Sophie Cunningham attractive scale.
I like to watch her walk.
I love to watch her walk,
bro.
I'm not intentionally following Sophie Cunningham. She just keeps popping up in my algorithm for some reason.
She's had a big show.
Yeah, she's
lately.
Blowing up. She's probably going to be able to retire from basketball because the social media thing is just
the
so...
The point was huge for her.
Yeah,
she got some new shoes off that point.
No, she did. And then afterwards, she took the picture with Holloway in the octagon, and that's gone viral as well. But yeah, 469, whatever, good riddance. A good riddance. He's a piece of bleep. I get it. A lot of people feel that way. And a lot of things that he's done, I can't really argue with you. All right. We do have the all breakout team from Bucky Brooks.
Yeah. Flannoy on this thing?
I feel like Flannoy broke out.
I know.
If
that's what I'm
me,
saying.
But no, Ryan Flannoy isn't on here, and he should be.
Tongue
so.
In cheek. And
no,
give me Jaden Blue, bro.
Jaden Blue on the all breakout team.
Oh, wait. This is for the whole. Oh, it's not like one per team.
No.
This is
if he's putting a team together, and there is not a Jaden Blue sighting.
No, of course not.
But there is a running back in Jaden Blue's draft class, and it's a guy that we were pretty high on. Mm. In fact, really, really high on. We were saying, should the Cowboys take him in the first round if he's there? And then he ran behind one of the worst offensive lines we've ever seen in the history of the sport.
Genty.
It's Ashton Genty.
Yeah.
He's got Ashton Genty as his running back. He's got Cam Ward as his quarterback. You guys buying like a Titans sneaky good season? I'm kind of starting to.
Are you? You got the Bob Sala fever?
Like, I don't know how. Yeah, I got the Bob Sala fever. I got the Sala fever, baby. Yeah. I just
He's
think Cam Ward
Ball.
Is really good. Yeah.
I'm not sure the offense can be good enough to make them relevant. I don't think they're going to score in the 20s yet. Maybe a year away.
Sure.
But they did bring in a lot of good defensive players.
And they drafted
Cornell the
Tate.
Wide receiver. Yeah.
I mean,
and Wandale.
I do like
Cam Ward.
Me too. And I thought that he started to play pretty well towards like the last 6 weeks of the season. There's potential there.
Hey, yeah. Well, you didn't say anything about Atlanta being better than Dallas, did you?
No.
Okay. This morning on the morning show.
Oh, I couldn't believe this. Bobby said this.
Bobby
right?
went on. Bobby went on
you
know,
a. like how you asked me. Yes. No,
Bobby went on a rant this morning about how he felt like, I shouldn't say it's a rant. Bobby went on a soapbox take that he felt that Atlanta would be better than Dallas this year.
With Tua. He's got Tua at the quarterback spot.
And Tua playing the quarterback spot.
Winning how many games? Is he fading the Cowboys here? Like or is this more?
He just says
he thinks
he says
just,
that
if they
Atlanta
met on the field
will have
today.
A better record. Yeah, if they met on a field today, that Atlanta would win.
That was jarring. I wasn't expecting that.
Is he still taking New Orleans to win the division? Because I know he's a big Shuck guy. And right up until so far, he's being proven right on that. Because I thought Shuck was going to stink.
I thought he was going to be horrible.
And I'm still holding out hope we're right on this, which is kind of rude to say. I shouldn't be like rooting for his downfall. I'm not, but just to like be right about the evaluation, I guess I kind of am.
Yeah. Yeah.
But your take means more than this guy's career. Bobby's take this morning was that Atlanta was better, will be a better team than Dallas this year.
Brian Stefanski and Ulbrich might have.
They've got a lot of talent on the team. I don't think it's a terrible. But
I mean, with Tua and Penix, how I don't know how you can say that.
Hey, June radio, baby. I guess I'll chalk it up to June radio, but that is a little wild.
I'm glad you didn't say that. I just want to make sure.
No, I didn't. I did not say that. Cam Ward, Ashton Jeanty, Emeka Egbuka, who I do think kind of broke out the first half of last season.
Yeah, he was amazing.
But then things kind of simmered down for him a little bit. Luther Burden, who really could be primed for a big season without DJ Moore.
Yeah.
Isaac Tesla. And I love that pick. Because Isaac Tesla, like you could see, this dude was super talented, 6'4", 214 at Arkansas. Yeah. Damn right.
He's a contested ball monster.
He had to be at playing at Arkansas.
And he's so fast. Yeah, that could be nice.
I mean, seriously, he's like a soccer goalie.
Yeah, Gunnar Helm.
God, diving all over the place.
Patrick Paul, the tackle for the Dolphins, which would be big for them.
Yeah, he ended up being really good last year.
Amarius Mims, who's still just 23 years old, going to be going into year three for Cincinnati.
Gosh, Joe Burrow's praying for that.
Dominic Pooney, the guard from the 49ers. Anthony Belton, converted tackle to guard. He is huge, 6'6", 336. And then Jared Wilson, the center for the Patriots. Boy, could they use that. And they trade. You had the trade there for them. They need a center. Can he step up? That's interesting to me. So, hey, there's your all breakout team. We'll see if Bucky ends up hitting it, but no Cowboys listed. I find that offensive that he left Ryan Flannoy off the list, Brian.
It's disappointing. I thought Bucky'd be better than that.
BB would have cracked it.
BB? Well, BB's broken out. Come on. No, but you're right.
Three down, two to go. Finest coming up next, Chief.
The Cowboys player we most need to be dominant this year, next in the nation.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5. Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.